A lot can happen between falling in love with a house online and owning it. Between imagining living there and breathing in your new home for the first time. Having an advocate who can help you navigate the complex world of financing, inspections, negotiating, analyzing the market, and talking through any anxieties that may pop up, that can make all the difference. That's what the expertise of a Realtor can do for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and bound by a code of ethics. Because that's who we are.
I'm Chris Hahn, the Aggressive Progressive. Check out a new episode of the Aggressive Progressive podcast every Tuesday. You know, the election is heating up just as the year is winding down. Stick with me. I'll tell you the truth as I see it. Download the Aggressive Progressive on Pandora or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys, and welcome to episode 27 of Hashtag No Filter. I'm so excited for you to hear this episode. It is such an interesting one. It's with Dr. Brittany Barreto, and she's the founder of Faramore. If you're unfamiliar with Faramore, it's a dating app that measures your compatibility based on physical chemistry and social alignment. So it's a science-based dating app, and it's the first of its kind to use a DNA kit to find love. Yes, I'm totally serious. This is a thing, and it's genius. I wish I thought of it. I didn't think of it because I have no, science is not my thing, not my forte. I think my high school science teacher, Mr. Mavronicles, I was probably one of his least favorite students if we're keeping it real. But it was, science is definitely Brittany's thing. And she came up with this incredible idea that I think could be the future of dating. I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't be. I mean, you download this app like you would download any other dating app, but then you get your Faramore DNA kit, you swab the inside of your cheek, you send it off to them, and then you go on a date based on your likes, but also your chemistry, more importantly. And it basically, Brittany will explain this, but it's a genetic analysis of attraction that tells you how much chemistry you're going to have with this person. Because what I learned, which I didn't know, is that it's all based on DNA and your immune system, which I had no idea about. Like, what? So I just think this is such a cool concept, and I don't see why you wouldn't do this. Like, this makes so much sense. I mean, it's literally science-backed. So anyway, it's fascinating. But beyond Faramore, Brittany is just such a dynamic woman. And she has had her own struggles in her personal life with mental health. And she's going to talk about that. And she also was told no a lot. When she first started to go for funding, people thought she was the assistant. You know, maybe they're expecting a man or they're expecting someone else. But it's not like she just, you know, thought its idea, went for funding, and it was boom, 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 done. I mean, she definitely was told no. She kept pushing. She was so passionate about it that she just kept going. And here we are today. But it was just, we had such a great conversation. We talked not only about the app, also about her personal life, also about her love story and dating in general. And it was just really, really interesting. And if you're not a science person, don't click away, because I am not a science person, as I said. And we don't talk all about science. I mean, when we do talk about science, Brittany dumbs it down to my level. So I promise you'll be okay. But I don't want you to think we're just, you know, going to talk about science. There's so much more to it. And yes, it goes back to science because that is what this app is based on. But it is just, I learned so much and I was so fascinated with everything Brittany was telling me. So I really think you're going to love this. Definitely keep on listening. And I would love to hear what you think about it too. And if you do go on Faramore, I kind of want to hear your story. You're going to love it. So keep on listening. And here's Dr. Brittany Barreto. Welcome, Brittany. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thank you. So as I said in the intro, we have Dr. Brittany Barreto here today. And I am so excited to talk to you about a lot of things. We have a lot to unpack in this episode. So first, before we really get into it, give a little background synopsis, your story, how you got here today.
Sure. My name is Dr. Brittany Barreto. Mm-hmm. I am CEO and co-founder of Faramore. Mm-hmm. Faramore is a DNA-based dating app that's nationwide where singles can download the app for free, create a profile, buy a DNA kit, and then figure out who they're most compatible with based on their DNA.
And are you the first of your kind? Like, I've never heard of this until you. That's so...
First of our kind, but the science behind attraction using DNA is actually very old. So it's been about 30 years scientists have known that you can predict who's attracted to who because of your DNA. But I was just the first geneticist who was a hopeless romantic, swiping endlessly,
saying
there's got to be a better way, and read these papers and said, heck, I'm going to use science to find love and might as well help everyone else.
Yeah, why isn't everyone doing this? Yeah. It seems, why wouldn't you do this? So how did you get into this? What's your background?
My background is biology and genetics. Uh-huh. I'm actually the first person in my family to go to college.
Wow.
And I always loved science. I'm definitely a nerd.
Yeah, okay. Love it.
And in college, I was in a genetics seminar, and we learned about how scientists for decades have been able to predict who's attracted to who because of their DNA. And I rose my hand and I was like, Professor, could I make a geneharmony.com? And he kind of looked and rolled his eyes and scoffed and was like, I mean, I guess you could, but that's really weird.
Oh.
And everyone kind of looked, they're like, Brittany's so weird. She says such weird things.
Stop.
Oh, yeah.
So this was a while, like...
This was almost 10 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And I was like, that's so cool. One day I might make Gene Harmony, you know?
Oh.
Connect people using their DNA, but...
And...
Years later, yeah.
Wow. So what was your path from 10 years ago to now?
So my path was that I am a female who is not encouraged to drop out of college and pursue crazy dreams. So this is certainly not a Mark Zuckerberg, Steve Jobs kind of story, right?
Uh-huh.
It's a woman who had a crazy idea but said, well, society says I should continue to get an education. And so I did that. And actually, I'm very grateful for it because sending your spit in the mail was not hot 10 years ago. No one was doing it yet, right? I
right,
was ahead
right.
of my time.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And also, it was geneharmony.com. It wasn't an app. I had a BlackBerry at the time.
Right.
Just like, what wasn't
right,
the
BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful that I stuck to my studies. Graduated from college, went on to do my doctorate in molecular human genetics at Baylor College of Medicine here in Houston.
Right.
That's what brought me down here from New Jersey.
Got it.
And, you know, the thing that really pushed me into it was trying to figure out what my career path was going to be and knowing that I had way too much personality to work at a lab my whole life.
Totally.
And I loved animals too much to work for a pharmaceutical company and was like, well, heck, what does that mean? Like,
right.
What am I going to do? I love DNA. I really love DNA.
Wow.
And I love humans. Like, what does that mean? What am I going to do? I started taking some entrepreneurship classes and realized, like, that's my tribe.
Oh, my God.
And, but I would tell people, like, well, I only have one crazy idea for a DNA-based dating app. And they were like, that's not crazy. That sounds like really, like, a good idea.
Like,
you
genius.
And it was in 2016, after some really personal growth, I actually struggled with PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2016, that summer, I actually went inpatient for 30 days for a treatment for PTSD.
Oh, wow.
And I like to share that story because it's certainly not a, like, everything fell into place. Everything was so perfect.
Like, you had
wonderful, you know?
Road bumps to overcome, big
lots
ones.
Lots and lots of road bumps, lots and lots of challenges and, you know, obstacles. And that was a big one. And when I came out of that, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to be more authentic, more true to myself.
Yeah.
And so I stopped saying, well, I only have this one crazy idea. And started being like, I have this wonderful idea.
Yep.
And it's going to change the world.
Yes.
You know?
And then that's when...
And then I pitched it at an accelerator program.
Oh,
and
my
met
gosh.
My co-founder, and the rest is history.
Oh, my God. So now, Theramore, so where, how does it work? Like, just how can someone get on the app?
So someone can just go to the App Store.
Right.
We are iOS and Android. Go to the App Store, download for free, make a profile for free. And it's like a typical dating app where you have pictures, you have a bio. Something really cool that we do is we ask you if you'd like to link your Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and we will actually data mine your likes and your hashtags from Twitter and Facebook and auto-populate your profile for you.
Oh my gosh.
And one, that saves you time. And two, it makes a more authentic profile because as someone who swiped for 4 years aimlessly, I was looking at profiles that all just said that they loved adventure and they were super laid back. And I was like, what
no,
the
they,
heck?
No, they can go out and party or they can sit on a couch with a glass of wine. That's typically.
Right. And I was like, all right, I'm literally swiping based on the same bio. Like, do they even know they have the same bio?
Right.
Excuse me.
Why? So, I mean, because the dating app, dating sites, all that, it's saturated. It's a saturated industry. How have you kind of stood out? How are you standing out? Like, what's your plan? How, I mean, to go into a space that is crowded and you're doing something so different and unique and genius in my mind. Like, why aren't we all just meeting people this way? It makes sense.
Well, you know, I think it's going to take a little time. It takes some more time for people to catch on to it. It's definitely innovative.
Right.
You know, and usually innovation sounds scary. Similar
right.
to how Amazon asks you to put your credit card online, and people are like, that sounds scary.
Right,
and
right,
now
right.
everyone's like, go to the store.
Like, yeah, what? Who does that?
And so right now, we're right. still kind of in that era of like, no, this is the future. Like, and it's okay.
Yeah.
That's why.
So yeah.
We're still growing consumer.
Yeah, because you're still fairly new. Right,
yeah.
right.
But the market, yes, it's saturated. There's a ton of dating apps.
Right.
Like, they're coming out every day,
yeah.
right? But my opinion is that they are not effective. And
right.
their goal
right.
is to keep you on the app and
mm-hmm.
to keep you swiping and to keep you within the
Correct.
Carousel of first dates, right?
Yes, yes.
And so Faramore's objective is to find you real connection
yeah.
using science.
Science,
you know?
Right.
And the people that sign up are committed and they're invested in
right.
finding love because they're sending in their DNA and waiting 2 weeks to get the results, right? Like, these are people that are like, hey, I'm busy 2 Fridays in my life, no worries. Like, I'm good.
Right,
you know?
Right.
If you're going to help me find the person, the love of my life,
it's worth waiting. Dating. Exactly.
Yeah.
And when, so how does it work? So you send the,
oh,
you,
yeah.
yeah, how does that part
Sorry.
Work? No, I'm just like, I'm like, how does this work?
Download the app, create
right.
your profile, and then you purchase a DNA kit within the app.
Okay.
And we send you a box in the mail.
Okay.
Right to your house in a discreet package that no one will know.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
You swab your cheek, simple cheek swabs, like a little Q-tip. That's... You brush the inside of your cheek. You mail it back to us. We provide the postage and everything.
Right.
Just drop it in the mail. Comes to us. We send the swabs to the laboratory. We isolate the DNA from your cheek swells on that swab.
Wow.
And then what we do is we sequence the 11 genes for attraction.
Okay.
So the 11 genes for attraction are actually the same genes as your immune system.
Huh.
So science has shown that the more different your immune system genes are, the more likely you are to be physically attracted to one another. So the,
really?
So the old saying, the opposites attract, is biologically true.
Really?
Yeah. And it's all about when we were cavewomen and cavemen, we didn't know who was our uncle,
right.
who was our cousin, and we had to use our nose and our pheromones to figure out, well, if that person's immune system is different than mine, we're probably not related, and therefore our babies would be healthier.
Wow.
I know, crazy, right?
Well, I definitely didn't know that. I mean, why would I know that? That's crazy.
Yeah, and so actually the entire animal kingdom operates like this, and humans are no different.
So opposites really do attract.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So then once you get it, and then how does it then work from there?
So the lab gives us the raw data, and again, we only look at your 11 genes for attraction.
Right.
I don't know about your diseases,
Got
your
it.
Ancestry. I don't know anything about
right.
that. Only your traction genes. We take that raw data, and Faramore in-house has built these algorithms to figure out who you're going to be compatible with, and what manifests on your app, on your screen, is a match report. So you're able to see 10 singles every day, and each one has a match report. And within that match report, you're going to see 3 scores. A
okay.
social alignment score, how many things you have in common.
But and they'll know that from the DNA.
That's from the social media part.
Oh, the social
yeah,
media part.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the DNA is your physical chemistry part. Because the
right.
DNA is really, it's just about good sex, actually.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, it's about pheromones. It's about physical attraction.
So the DNA that you're getting is really for the physical attraction
it's
part.
It's for love at first sight. It's for
Shut
like
up.
How sweaty are your palms going to get. It's about like how...
And like it's obviously it's science based. So does this work? I mean like,
yeah.
like you know people that have done this DNA and they've like fallen in love.
So not only do I know them, I am one.
I know that. Did yes. I miss that in the bio? Shut the...
Yeah, so I was swiping for like 4 years, and now I've taken a DNA test and I found the love of my life.
No.
Yeah, he's wonderful. He's so wonderful.
So... That, like, both of you did the DNA thing.
Uh-huh.
Did you do it through your app? Like, what? Or I guess
so
it was...
So, actually, the truth of the matter is, it wouldn't be very ethical as a founder to be on my own dating app.
Right,
so
right.
I was doing some market research on another dating app.
Okay.
And this guy sent me a message, and I was like, this is actually a really good message. And he's got a pretty good profile, and I messaged him saying... Hey, I just want to be honest. I'm the owner of a DNA-based dating app. Will you take a DNA test? And he was like, to meet you? Like, yes.
Stop
now.
It.
And so I sent him a DNA test, and we were 90% compatible, like top 10%, like very compatible. And we've been dating happily for 5 months now.
Shut up.
Uh-huh, I know.
So if someone's only compatible, let's say 60%, I don't
yeah,
know, does
yeah,
that
yeah.
mean they won't? Definitely. Like, how does it work? Like, it's up to you if you want to meet the person,
That's
I guess.
Right.
Right.
That's
right.
So I try to tell people, you know, we're not asking you to swab and then we're going to mail you your soulmate. There's right. still human will.
Of course.
There's still, you know, isms depending on what city you live in.
Right.
And, you know, what, maybe you're part of a certain religious background. And
right,
so
right,
important
right.
to you. And so that's why Fairmore, we don't mail you your soulmate. We say, hey, here's 10 singles for today. You get to pick. And you want to date someone who's 10% compatible, go for it.
Right.
We're just going to say,
this is what we're
like,
giving,
hey.
Like, right. Yeah. Like, you signed up for it to
yeah.
get this.
And so what we're doing is we're empowering people. We're wow. not telling them, this is the way it is, you need to do this. We're saying, hey, you're a free will individual, but here's some data to more strategically date, because you're busy. You don't have time to go and
right.
do that first dates this week. You
Wait,
know?
That is so wild. I still can't get over that. So, oh my God. So, and then you get 10 a day. That's
10
a day. And
yeah.
it's not a swipe thing. I should
not,
have like downloaded
no,
the app. No, I'm not single, but just to see. I love you, Matthew.
Yeah.
But how does it work when in the app?
So in the app, you get to see, it's like a little carousel of 10 profiles.
Okay.
You can kind of sway through them. But you click one, it opens up, you get to see all their pictures, their bio, their interests. And at the bottom, you like or pass.
Got it.
And if you both like each other, we will make you a match, quote unquote. Sorry, I'm on a podcast.
Yeah, we're doing quotes.
Your match at that point, and then you can then start messaging. I want to give you a little inside scoop, though, on this
Please.
Podcast.
Everyone listen.
That, and if we're building right now, though, that every day you'll have 2 guaranteed matches based on your DNA.
But don't you get the 10? Oh, that's separate.
So the 10 is like, you get to decide if you like them or not. But what we're going to start doing is saying, hey, we're going to automatically match y'all because you're DNA compatible. Yeah, and then you can just immediately start texting with them.
Because unless you connect, you can't start messaging, which I like. I think that's...
I like that. As a woman who uses dating apps,
right.
I liked it when we only have... You have to like someone and they have to like you back before you start messaging.
Right.
But what we've realized on our app is that there's a lot less like skeezy people on there.
Yes.
And there's a lot more people committed to...
They're
like,
taking it seriously. Right,
yeah.
right.
And so even if your automatic DNA match every day, maybe one of them is a weirdo, you can just unmatch them.
You still have the power to unmatch them. But you're really getting 10 a day?
Yeah, you get 10 a day.
That's a
yeah.
lot of choice. Like,
yeah.
that's great.
Yeah, and what we found is that people who do the DNA test on our app, because we don't require it, we understand.
Oh, you don't?
Like,
okay.
This is new, like, check it out.
Right.
Your profile.
Right.
Like, just see it. But the people who do buy the DNA kit get 26 times more matches.
Well, right, because they did that.
Yeah.
So you have people that are on there that have not that aren't doing the DNA, but then they're not getting the DNA match part.
Yeah.
So okay, but they can still
be
on a dating app.
They can still be on it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, that's great for that. Oh my. Wait, I still can't get over. Okay, so now people are. So when you're on, let's say, another dating app that's not a science-based one, another one, we don't care about the name of it, and you see like a good-looking person maybe on your end, the DNA part makes it so both of you are attracted to each other. Is that what it's, is that like, I don't know science. Just dumb it down for me. Like, hot, like, you know, you, cause you see hot guys, you know, or girls on apps, websites, wherever.
Yeah.
The science part though brings both of the compatibility.
The science part lets you know, hey, this is someone you typically think you might want to match with and go on a date.
Right.
But science says you're not going to jive.
Got it. Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And so on our app, what happens is we are helping you figure out who you should go on first dates with rather than date based on Snapchat filters.
Correct.
Because that's what people are doing now. Right?
I see what you're saying.
Okay.
Yes.
And this is science driven love. Right?
Science driven. It's so crazy because, you know, you think like, and it's so funny because you're like, I'm a hopeless romantic and you're like this, like science, like you said, you're a nerd, like whatever. I mean, you don't seem like a nerd, but a nerd's a great thing. But like you, like science and love, you don't automatically think like, but I love that you've really like combined the two.
Yeah.
And
it's so great.
So how did it start? I mean, you had to go into the, and I know when we spoke before and through emails, when you were going to look for funding and, and you know, a lot of these are male driven, you know, venture capitalists.
Mm-hmm.
How was that process?
Well, I started going to pitch competitions and was asked where the CEO was because I was obviously the assistant who was just bringing the PowerPoint.
People
and,
said that
oh,
actually?
Yeah. They were like, oh, where's your CEO? Like, are you just here to drop off the PowerPoint? And I was like, no, it's me. Hello.
Oh my gosh.
And so I did something crazy. Which I hope I am wildly successful so I can tell everybody about the story.
Yeah.
I started to wear a lab coat while I pitched. Which, if any actual scientist saw me wearing a lab coat while doing a PowerPoint, they'd be like, why are you wearing a lab coat?
Right.
Showing up in a lab coat made people be like, oh, hi, Dr. Barreto. Like, please come to the stage. Like, how can we help you? You know?
Oh, my gosh.
And literally just wearing a white coat enabled people to respect me more. It gave me a title, right? Mm-hmm. Even though I already had a title, the coat gave me the real title.
Right.
And I felt safer on stage in a lab coat. Yeah. It's not very flattering, but that's what I wanted. I wanted them to not look at my curves, and I wanted them to look at my business plan.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I mentor female founders, and, you know, sometimes they come for, like, a mentoring session, and they're wearing the cutest little dress.
Yeah,
and
I'm
like, oh, I love that dress. Please never wear that to a pitch. You know?
Is it because, like, people aren't taking you as seriously because you're in a cute little thing?
I think it's not taken as seriously and also quite candidly distracted.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Okay.
I've had so many pitches before I started, like, really figured out the game.
Right.
I would end a pitch and the first person was like, and by the way, you look so great up there. And I'm like, why are you saying that?
But that's not the point. Right. Thanks,
you know?
But
yeah.
Right. So was that hard? Like, were you ever discouraged? Or how you?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of
so
course,
what kept you, like, you're like, I'm doing it. Like, you just felt so passionate about it?
Yes.
Long story short, yes.
Yeah. But I felt like I do have believers, right? I had believers, and I have a lot more now.
Right.
And so the few people that did, you know, stand in my way or make me question why I was doing this were fewer and far between, and the believers and the supporters and the few women investors that do exist were there to say, like, thank goodness there's a female founder pitching today because I want to invest in females, you know? And so, and I'm also just somebody who loves to go against the grind.
Yeah.
That's why I had to get out of academia because I'm very much about, like, red tape and taking things slow. And I'm like, I like to be radical.
Totally.
With anything, right? So being a scientist, gone entrepreneur in the South, who's a female CEO founder, trying to sell a dating app, but it's also biotech.
Yeah.
It's super innovative. I mean, I think I'm the reason at pitch competitions they have a category called other.
Because they have
like medical device, cybersecurity, consumer products, and they're other.
And that's you. But so were you told no a lot?
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, yeah. Totally.
Wow.
I mean, especially here in the South, pitching in Houston and the Gulf, there's a lot of people that cannot look past that, and I know we've actually been speaking a lot about it. So Faramore is a dating app.
Right.
But what my company actually is a data company and a technology platform.
Right.
So what we're doing is we have the dating app, but we actually also are about to launch a couples website called wehavechemistry.com for couples to find out their compatibility using
DNA. I want to do it. Is it up? Is it live?
We are taking pre-orders. I'll sign you up today.
I want to do it. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, cool.
And then we're also about to start offering our DNA kits to matchmakers and other dating apps to integrate it. Because what we realize is that we are scientists. And we love the dating app space. We love growing it. The market, but it was kind of a way to just validate that the market is willing to buy DNA kit to find love.
Right.
And that that it's a legit thing. You know,
right.
We're the first to do it. So we had to prove that the market wants it. So now we can, the market actually told us, the couples were like, we want to do it. So
right.
We're like,
I love
so
that.
So we're launching the couples website. But then we also thought our goal as a company is to, end isolation through innovation, right?
Wow,
and so that's not going to happen if we just keep the DNA test to ourselves.
Right,
it's
right.
It's going to be more effective. We're going to find more people love if we offer our DNA kit to matchmakers who are doing a fantastic job of matching people, but they can't predict who's going to feel sparks when someone kisses, right?
Right, but
my
adding this element.
Them,
yes.
Right? My kit supports them.
Well, we were talking about it before we started recording, and I actually haven't talked about it at all on the podcast, so we'll get into it another time, but about a venture I'm involved with, a matchmaking company, and we were saying, and I was like, my business partner and I were talking about how all of us are having the same goal. We want people to find love. Like, we love love.
Yeah.
We might be nerds. We might be I'm just crazy, but I love love, and I love all that cheesy stuff at the end of the day, and
we all have the same end goal. Like, we want people to find love. So why aren't we working together?
Exactly.
We can all succeed. We can, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
So we're going to talk offline later about that. But that's true. I mean, why not partner?
There are so many dating apps right now that their goal is just to monetize you endlessly,
right?
And their goal is not to actually help you find love. And that's
because
why,
the more you're on the app, the more money they're making from their advertisers,
right.
Yes, yes.
And so, you know, again, I'm a rebel. I'm trying to change the game. I'm trying to move paradigms, right?
Right.
So I have a DNA-based dating app, but I want to offer my kit to matchmakers and other dating apps that share our value set and try to find people love.
Right.
And assist them in doing that.
Right, because someone might be on, not going to name names, on that app that's like, I mean, I know my single friends are like, I go on that, you literally go on that for a one night stand or for a hookup.
Yeah.
We're not, you know, so that app might not be one that wants the DNA kit, but there's another one that
I know
all my friends are meeting people on and they might want that. So why not partner?
Yeah.
The more, I feel like the more fish that are out there, I mean, people are going to find love. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
I love that. So it's like, what is it? Community over competition? Collaboration over competition?
Oh, yeah.
Something in the blogger world.
Yeah. In the science world, I mean, one person, one laboratory may be an expert on a certain protein, but this lab over here is this expert on this. And
right.
When you collaborate, you can publish way more papers than if you try to do it all by yourself, right? So
right.
I think, you know, being a scientist, entrepreneur, more scientists need to become entrepreneurs because entrepreneurship is all about pilot experiments. It's about, hey, before I throw my whole budget into this marketing campaign, let me do a mini one.
Right.
And so how that relates into science is that scientists don't want to spend the rest of their life on one experiment, right?
Right.
So they say, hey, I have this crazy idea. I'm going to do a little mini one that I'll never tell anyone about. I won't publish it, but I'm just going to do a mini one. It'll take me one day at a time.
Right.
Prove to myself that it's actually a pretty good idea, and then I'll invest, you know, the next month of my PhD or whatever into doing this experiment.
Right.
And so I've literally taken that exact mindset from science and
brought
it into entrepreneurship where I'm like, hey, like, we're going to be humble,
mm-hmm.
very quick to say, hey, I had an idea and it was wrong.
Right.
Said no.
Yeah.
Pivot, you know.
And then pivot. I love that pivot. I've been talking about that with someone. How I love that whole notion of pivot. Okay,
uh-huh.
Let's go to the next.
My current investors, they're like, it's so great to, it's refreshing to have a CEO without an MBA because you're so willing to be like, I was wrong.
Yeah, that's
and isn't
such
that exciting?
A good point.
But we figured it out that I was wrong and we're moving on to something else.
Right.
Like, MBAs are a little bit more stubborn. They're like, the market just doesn't know what they want.
Right.
Like,
oh my God.
I'm like, hey, the market told me I didn't have a good idea.
Change
it.
Right.
You know?
So what advice would you give to someone, a woman specifically, mm-hmm. starting... trying to start their own thing, whatever it is, and because you said you've been told no a lot, you've had. What's your advice for them?
Number one, don't quit your day job. Keep paying your bills.
Yeah.
Keep finishing. You know, I started the company and I wasn't done with my doctorate, so for 1 year I was the CEO of a startup that I was funding, and I was a PhD student. Two very, very stressful full-time jobs,
Yep.
But I was, like, determined to finish that doctorate because I knew I wanted to be Dr. Brittany Barreto. I had worked way too freaking hard to drop out in the last minute.
Yeah,
you know?
yeah.
So don't quit your day job.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The second advice is surround yourself with believers
mm-hmm.
because you will doubt yourself several times a day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And by several times a day, I mean like alternating like minutes. Like
yeah,
this minute, you're
yeah,
going to think you're
yeah.
the next Facebook. This minute, you're
yep.
like, why am I doing
why
this?
Why am I doing this? Yeah. And so much doubt. And then if you have people that also are not believing in you, then you're really just fucked.
You'll never do it.
Right.
You got to surround yourself with believers.
Yeah.
And the other thing, and surrounding yourself with a few female mentors that are not afraid to tell you how it is.
Right.
That includes a female mentor that is maybe 2 years ahead of you.
Okay.
And then one that's maybe 5 to 10 years ahead of
okay.
you. Because the one that's 2 years ahead of you has some really, really pertinent advice that is recent, right?
Right.
And
the
one with 5 to 10 years... they have advice that, you know, when they're like, yeah, 10 years ago I was in your position. And you know what? 10 years today is like a new world.
It really
you know?
Is. It really is.
And so I have mentors that, you know, are, I would say, like my female investors. They're my mentors that I hope to be in 20, 30 years.
Right.
They don't have my day-to-day advice.
Right,
you
right.
know?
Makes
they have,
sense.
They have, like, bigger wisdom advice.
That because they're older and they've been in the game longer. So
on
the topic of mentors, I've actually been, like, thinking about this lately. I don't know. It must have come up in a conversation. How does one go about finding a mentor? Like, do you just, like, knock on someone's door? Like, how did you go about that?
You know what? People love to give advice.
Yeah. Yeah. You're so right.
People are always like, how do I find a mentor? I'm like, literally, if you tell anyone that you think that they're smarter than you and you want to hear from them, they're going to say, yeah. Like, oh, well, thank you.
Right.
So I think that also mentor frequently is stated singularly. So one mentor. Man, you're limiting yourself if you have one mentor.
Right.
You need a mentor for just being a female badass.
Right.
A female mentor who has done entrepreneurship. You need a female mentor who also has gone through the same struggles as you. You know? You need a, like,
it's not just one person. Female or men. Right.
I have tons of men mentors. Right. And so they're obviously, they're not mentoring me on, like, how do you pitch while you're pre-pressing,
They're mentoring
me on, like,
other things.
Other stuff, right?
So have, and is it, like, how, because I know there, you know, there's a lot, like, people don't, because a lot of people, I've even gotten emails and I'm not like, I feel like I can't even consider myself a mentor because I'm like not, I don't know, but I've gotten emails where like, can I pick your brain?
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, like there's, I've read articles where you can't just email someone and say, what are they going to get out of it?
Yeah.
So like, how, is it like an arrangement between you and your mentor, your mentees, whatever, or you're the mentee. How does that work? Like, like they take you under their wing? Like, how does it?
So first I'd say, when I go to, like, an event, especially in the beginning when I was, like, seeking mentors.
Yes.
Like, I got it. I need somebody in entrepreneurship to mentor me. I would go to events or networking events, and I would find somebody that I was like, they know a lot of stuff. I want to know more. And so what I would do is I'd email them and say, hey, may I buy you a coffee? May I bring you lunch? You know, I'm going to come to you. And now
That's what it is.
I'm like, please don't make me leave my office, girl. I'm not going to
be right. Well, because you are doing them a favor by giving them your expertise. And so that's the way to do it.
May I bring you a coffee? May I bring you lunch? And then say, I have some questions about entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you have no questions. Just make them
really?
up.
Really?
Yeah.
You can just, you just want a face-to-face and just show up.
And say, like, tell me your story. How did you get to
where you are?
People love to talk about it. And then from there, you just say, like, wow, that's so interesting. How did you go from this to this? And then you just go from there, right?
But so, I love that. I feel like it was a Business Insider article or something, and it was like, you can't just email someone saying, I want to pick your brain.
Yeah.
Let's meet up for coffee. That's not convenient for them. Like, bring them the coffee,
whatever
it is. And I love that.
Yeah.
So having a mentor is very important.
Very important.
Yeah.
And
multiple mentors.
Many mentors for many different things. And also, you don't need to ask somebody, like, can you be my mentor?
Right.
That sounds like a commitment, right?
Yeah.
You just need to get that first meeting face-to-face.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a pheromone-based dating app lady.
Right.
I'm about the human connection. You know, meeting and exchanging that energy in person
right.
is very, very important to solidify that connection. And then figure out something about that person that they like that doesn't necessarily have to do with entrepreneurship or whatever. So,
right.
for example, one guy in the med center that I consider a mentor, he loves dogs.
Okay.
Well, I have a dog, and I love dogs.
Babe.
And so I didn't necessarily have questions for him all the time, but once a month, I'd text him this cute, funny little picture of my dog. And
got it.
Like, hope you're doing well. That guy would literally write me a recommendation letter or bend over backwards for me any day.
Really?
You know, and it's just because I sent him cute
pictures
of my dog.
Yeah.
Like, this lady's pretty cool, you know?
Right. And you're not just, like, using him for his whatever. I mean,
yeah.
you're, like, keeping up the relationship.
He's like, you know, good. So,
that
and there was one other thing I do want to say that there are some people that you want to keep close, and they aren't necessarily mentors, they're what I call sponsors.
Okay.
So a sponsor is, and I have several of these, and I'll give one as an example.
Yeah.
His name's Dr. Jack Gill, and he is a professor at Rice, and he's a very well known, like, super angel investor here in Houston.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he's like 83 years old. He does not understand how Facebook works. Like,
he's just not that generation.
He's like,
he doesn't understand what I'm doing here.
He's like, dating apps, like, what are you talking about, right? So he, on a day-to-day basis, cannot give me any mentorship.
Got it.
I mean, he's an old man, right?
Right,
like,
right.
He cannot give me a lot of advice
right.
on how to succeed. But what he can do is put his name on my brand and put his name on my mission, and people will follow. They're like, he believes in you,
he believes in you. He doesn't
understand
necessarily.
He doesn't understand it, but he's like, you know,
this is something. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I've seen you work, you're dedicated, you're outspoken, you're right. confident. Right. I believe, whatever you do, I don't really understand what you're doing.
Right.
But I
but I believe it.
You know?
And so he's like a sponsor where he endorses you.
Yeah, exactly. And he will invite me to speak at stuff and he'll introduce me and he's like, you know, I'm Dr. Jack Gill and this is Brittany and I believe in her and whatever she's doing. And all of a sudden the whole room is like a believer,
And
so I call him a sponsor.
Yeah,
and
interesting.
I think those are really good to have too because you need to categorize who's the person I'm meeting up for coffee for questions. And
right.
if I met up for coffee with Dr. Jekyll, like, he's lovely.
Yeah.
And, like, it's usually just, like, a conversation about his grandkids or something. Oh, you know?
Yeah,
like, really
yeah,
lovely.
Yeah. But he's not, like, mentoring you day-to-day.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. So, like, it's kind of like a celebrity endorsement. Like, when you have this person that's very well-known in an arena, and they're like, anything this girl does.
I mean, mentors are important, but damn, like, sponsors move mountains.
Yeah, you know? It's true. I mean, even in, like, the social, which I want to ask you about next, social media, but even in the social media world, you get one shout out from one person that might not even have 500,000 followers. Like, they might only have, like, under 10,000, but their community is so engaged that they, right away, you jump up. I mean, it's crazy. So how are you using social media, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, aside from how you explained it within the app, but to leverage your business from that standpoint? Are you finding that Instagram's, like, your thing, or are people in, like, do you have an engaged community on social media?
So, you know, it's interesting because dating apps are special kind of beast because people are more and more open about, hey, use dating apps.
Right.
At the same time, admitting that you're on a dating app is almost an admission of, like, I'm kind of desperate, especially if I'm on a DNA-based one, you know?
I see what you're saying.
And so there is some complications around how active people are.
Makes sense.
I am not discouraged about the lack of shout outs we get. From
because
our users,
to your point, exactly.
Like, because people are just like, hey, this is kind of like my private life.
Right. Well, and that's what it is. And that's what's funny because when I was asking that, I was thinking about, like, other just dating apps and even matchmaking sites and whatever. And it is like some people don't want to admit, even if you know they're single, they don't want to admit that they're taking this next step to find someone, which I think everyone should admit because I think it's awesome.
Well, that's why you and I are on the podcast.
Right. I think it's like, what is there to be ashamed of? I feel like science, it, like, makes perfect sense. Yeah. But back to the sex thing, the science, what you said. So, I again, not a science person. Like, I probably failed it in high school. I don't even know. So, when you're attracted to someone, like when the sex is good, is that because of the pheromones?
A lot of times, yes. At least the first time. So, I mean, sex can get improved with communication.
Right,
and, you know, whatever. But that initial, like, your energy aura shifts
everything.
When somebody walks in the room, that is biology.
That's biology.
You know, that is biology. That is, love at first sight is essentially you smelling someone's pheromones from across the room. And we don't know that we're smelling each other's pheromones, right?
It's not a smell. It's not like a perfume, right?
So, you know, someone walks in the room, you'll smell their pheromones unconsciously, and you'll turn to them, and your brain will release oxytocin and adrenaline. And that, to us, is love at first sight.
Wow.
And so your palms will start to get ready.
You get a little...
lose your appetite. You go on a first date and you were... or you, like, meet someone and you were so hungry before, but then all of a sudden you're talking to them and you're like, I'm not hungry at all. I can't eat this. Why did I order this?
Or when you first meet someone and you're just, like, those first few honeymoon stages, you're just, like, not eating. You're losing all this weight. Like, you're just... That's all that.
That is literally biology of attraction. Yeah. You're losing weight because you lost your hunger because you're just, like, hot. You're literally high. And so that's what Fairmore can quantify. Well, that's what we can
test
for and figure out, like, hey, when you have a 90% compatibility, we're telling you you're 90% likely to have that experience.
Like 90% likely that if that guy or girl walked into a bar and you smelled their pheromones, in quotes again, smelled their pheromones, that's what you're saying.
Yes, yep.
That's so wild. So when someone goes on, let's say, a date and they're just like, we didn't click. We didn't click. Is that also?
That's it.
Wow.
That's right.
That you might not click with this person, but you click with that. And that's really science. Like,
it's
there's science backing that. That's
and
so wild.
I know. Isn't it so cool?
That's so crazy. Oh my God.
That's why I also want to say, though, that again, we are not mailing you your soulmate.
No.
This is a piece of the pie, right?
Right. Of course.
There are plenty of honeymoon phases that I've had with many of people, and it didn't work out.
Totally.
Because in the end, we didn't share this one value that to me is a non-negotiable.
Got
or
it.
We
right,
didn't
right.
have the same, you know, lifestyle that jive.
And
right?
that's not a DNA thing.
And that's not a DNA thing. Right. It's because we're humans, right?
Right, right.
And that we're not, actually not animals, you know? We're
right.
animalistic,
right.
but actually not.
Right.
And so that's why we want to partner with the matchmakers and the other dating apps
yeah.
and taking those other qualities into account because, you know, those are really important still.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so... Oh my, I just like, I'm so fascinated mm-hmm. by this because I knew about it like when we were, of course, talking previously, but like how it all works and like when someone walks in a, I mean, why wouldn't someone do this? Like, why don't, I feel like everyone should do this. Like, I don't get it.
Too. I think you should too. Yeah.
I mean, especially if like, you can't guarantee that the sex is good because that's what you're saying. There's not, we're human. So
yeah.
the DNA might match and that's all great, but maybe the communication's off
yeah.
because of
yeah.
some child, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so that you
exactly,
have nothing,
exactly.
that's not what you're involved in.
No, but I will say that this is the studies behind it are about like I'm just trying to find my words carefully.
Yeah, totally. Go, yeah.
So there's some of the research that has been done that says that these genes can actually predict infidelity. So how often in within a couple does somebody seek sexual intercourse with somebody outside of the relationship?
Huh.
And so what scientists have shown is that, well, the more different your immune system, the genes, the more attractive y'all are to each other and your sex life will be better. And then someone is less likely to be
look
in
for
people.
It elsewhere.
Yeah. And that
wow.
these couples actually also have more children and they've increased fertility rates. And so it definitely is about sex. It's
wow.
about like,
and when you say these couples, you mean the ones that are compatible?
Yeah, the one in the research.
In the research,
done.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is crazy.
I know.
This sounds I'm like just like wrapping my head around
by
it.
By the way, I totally ruined your like sex life and your dating life now because whenever I was on first dates before I found the love of my life now, I would go on first dates and I'd be like, oh no, I'm losing my appetite.
And people are totally like listening, like they're going to be like thinking about it. Like when a guy walks in that a girl might think is hot and be like, I'm smelling their pheromones.
Like, oh no, my palms are getting sweaty. And it's like,
I'm just really interested in the couples one though.
Yes.
Like I want my husband and I to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had a question. You said it at the beginning, could you talk more about the PTSD? Would you
sure.
mind going back? Are you comfortable
no,
talking
totally
about that?
About
so
it, yeah.
what I would, yeah, just, I mean, I suffer from anxiety I had for the past 10 years. I know it's different from PTSD and everything, but I would love to hear.
Yeah,
and I know a lot of my listeners and viewers have anxiety. We talk about anxiety a lot on Instagram and anyway.
So I had a pretty tumultuous childhood filled with abuse in lots of different forms. And for me, survival was putting my head down in the books and studying. That was
right.
my dissociation,
right?
Right. Just getting approval from school by getting trophies and A's
right.
and stuff. That was where I got love, you know?
Right.
And self-esteem
right.
and stuff like that. And so I'm grateful for that coping skill
yeah.
because
yeah,
that,
yeah.
It led me to be able to get a great education and, you know, but it also definitely was a coping skill because my home environment was so poor.
Right.
So I had PTSD. I have PTSD. And
is that something that ever goes away, by the way?
Never really goes away, but you learn about how to deal with your symptoms on a more compassionate way.
Got it.
Because what I used to do is just drink alcohol or use drugs
right.
or have sex,
right.
you know, or whatever I could to not
feel right.
my body. Honestly, PTSD is all about, like, cutting yourself off from your body. It's about saying, like, I just want to be all up in my head. I just want to be a thinker. I just want to be a doer. And
right.
I don't want to have any feelings. Because
so you're
your body,
numb.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're trying to numb yourself.
Wow.
And through work, through emails, through whatever, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, totally.
And I ended up actually getting into recovery. So I have about 7 years sober.
Wow, that's congratulations.
Yeah.
That's great.
And so once that stopped, the PTSD
yeah.
actually got worse, which is because I was using that to
right,
numb it.
Right, right.
And about 2 years ago, it just got to a point where my brain started to be like, you know what, maybe we should kill ourselves. And I was like, you know, I don't want to die. You know?
Like you had
like,
suicidal thoughts.
I
yeah.
kept having these thoughts that were like, this is too much. We can't deal with these nightmares anymore. We can't deal with these flashbacks anymore. We can't deal with
right.
the... you know, dissociation in the middle class and we can't focus. Like maybe we, and, you know, your brain is just trying to offer solution. Right.
right
it's
right.
not. And when I started to realize that for about 3 months, my head kept saying like, hey, maybe this is an option. I said, you know what? This is out of control.
Right.
I cannot.
And so you yeah. said it, like you were the one that decided.
I cannot live a life where on like a daily basis, I'm that's like on the to-do list potentially, you know?
Yeah.
And, I've always known that I am meant for something bigger. Mm-hmm. I should not be where I am today, given my upbringing, given the circumstances, given that I have the addiction gene, you know, like, I should not be where I am, the things that I've gone through. And so, I don't know, I just kind of...
You said 30 days, were you somewhere?
So
you
yeah, I went to it, I always thought there was only rehabs, but yeah. Turns out there's like rehabs for mental wellness as well. Huh. I had no idea.
Like retreats yeah. or not yeah. a retreat? Oh, it
well,
is.
Retreats, but also like yeah. actual treatment. And huh. so I looked up like trauma rehab.
Right.
And there's actually rehabilitation centers huh. for people with PTSD, and there's like the trauma track.
Wow.
And so I went in for 30 days and learned about what my brain was doing on PTSD.
Right.
What is that? And I realized that, one, I was not unique and that this is common.
Right.
And two, that I always just thought I was like so weird. Like, why does this happen? Or why do I do this? Or what is this? And it was just, they educated me on like, this is all because of that, you know, and you are not weird.
Right.
And you're not totally broken. And like, this is, you are a very typical case of PTSD.
Wow.
Sorry to let you know.
Right. You're not the only one that, right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But what they did was they taught me about, you know, you have to get in touch with your body. And so it was very much about yoga, acupuncture, asking my body how it feels about decisions.
Mm-hmm,
and all those skills led me to now be somebody who meditates and does yoga every morning.
Every day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because if I don't, I become a reactor instead
mm-hmm,
of a responder.
Mm-hmm,
all of a sudden,
mm-hmm.
I'm just angry at everything.
Yeah.
I'm sad about everything.
Wow. And is PTSD, is it like, I'm familiar with anxiety. Like
mm-hmm.
anxiety, you can go on a medicine and I mean, I still get it, but like, the medicine, I'm on Zoloft every day. Like,
yeah.
does medicine help PTSD, or that's something like,
yeah, because,
it can, yeah.
Because PTSD is interesting because the symptoms can manifest into depression. It
right.
It can manifest as anxiety.
Right.
It can manifest
okay.
as, you know, all
got
kinds
it.
Of things.
That's
why a lot of people are diagnosed as bipolar instead of PTSD because they're like, whoa, you're sad for 2 days and then like really intense for 2 days. People
yeah.
just have bipolar and it's actually just like, no, my brain's on trauma.
you know,
like it's trying to coordinate molecules.
Yeah.
And so it's manifesting in all these different ways. So,
oh my gosh.
You know, it's so funny you say that about medication because one time I was speaking pretty candidly about this at a talk.
Yeah.
And the guy who was hosting my talk at the end, he came up to me and he was like, oh, I have a question. So like, how'd you get over that anxiety? And I was like, I take medication.
Right.
And
right.
he was like dumbfounded by that. But I was
really?
Like, you know, I'm not
yeah.
up here talking about how I just conquered it and it's totally gone. Like this is a daily reprieve.
You're still dealing with
you
it.
Know?
Yeah. Oh my, no, I went on Zoloft like 6 years ago, I think it was, maybe almost seven. I was very resistant to it first because I'm like, I'm not touching medication.
Yeah.
I'm very resistant. And finally I was like, why am I living this? This isn't fair.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on the medication and it fucking changed my life.
Yep.
Like
yep.
it was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
And
I like to be open about it because I rarely saw myself at the front of the classroom or on the auditorium or at the podium. I rarely saw women like me. I rarely saw the attitude that I have, which is one that is like, hey, I'm going to speak the truth.
Hashtag no filter.
And I rarely saw people up there saying that, I'm in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Or rarely saw people up there saying, my childhood looked like this. Or, I struggle with depression.
Right.
And I was like, so what happened was my entire life I was like, I don't think I can be that person because I'm nothing like them, you know? I have nothing in common with them. Their life is very different from mine, which now that I'm here, by the way, they probably all have PTSD. They probably all have alcoholism.
I feel like everyone has something.
But growing up, I never heard it. And so I thought, well, damn, I'm never going to be able to be at that podium one day. I'm never going to be that keynote speaker, right? And so I decided, like, if I ever do make it, which I hope to even, you know, quote unquote, make it.
You've made it, girl.
Jeez,
you've made it.
Change the world.
Right.
I want to be someone who speaks candidly about it, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't want it to be my only mission, right? There's lots of people out there with, I just did another podcast for Grateful and Co., you know, like about gratitude and suicide awareness and like, that's her one mission and mine is like, hey, I want to be a scientist, I want to be a CEO and be an entrepreneur. And by the way, guess what? I have PTSD. I'm in recovery.
Right.
You know, I want it to be like I can hold both.
Yes,
the same
exactly.
Story, you know?
Exactly. And I think there's something, I mean, it humanizes, like for a lot on social media, like you're following these people. Not that it's an anonymous because they see your face on there, but it's like, who is this person behind the screen? But then when you share your experience, it like humanizes the person, yeah. and then you connect. And it's like, yeah. I'm telling you, the Instagram stories that I get the most engagement on are when I talk about my anxiety, Zoloft, when I talk about my fear of flying, things like that, yeah. like yeah. real shit.
Human stuff,
yeah.
Human stuff,
yeah. Yeah. That, and are you a big proponent in therapy? Like, has
oh,
that, yeah.
Girl, okay. I've got like three counselors.
Nice. I'm obsessed with my therapist. So
yeah,
yeah, yeah no totally. Therapy. I mean that too. And when I talk about therapy, oh my God, I ended up like referring my therapist to people mm-hmm. because that people want people, when people can connect. Yeah, it's so, yeah. it's unbelievable.
I mean, so we have a company like Google Calendar, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like, Tuesdays, 4:30 to 5:30. I have it in the company calendar. It says Britt busy, you know, and everyone knows
right.
like Britt goes to counseling. You
right,
know?
Right, right. It's I think everyone should have someone to go to like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Even if you don't think you have problems, you probably do. And even if you don't, still
yeah.
for maintenance.
Yeah.
But okay, this is. I feel like we totally got off topic, but I just like there's so much I want to talk to you about. All right, so back to Faramore. Now, what? Talk about the success of Faramore. People on it. Are they going on one date you're seeing, or two dates, or multiple? How talk about that.
Yeah, so it's actually really exciting.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's all kind of like a big experiment. No one's done it before.
Right,
I know
right.
the science is real, but now it's in the marketplace. And they're telling
right.
me, how is it actually working for humans on a dating app?
Right.
And what we have realized is that people go on more second dates on using Faramore than on any other dating app.
That's amazing.
It's amazing and very, very peculiar. Again, the whole like scientist turned entrepreneur. I'm like, oh, this data is
right.
very interesting.
Right,
what
right, you're right.
Mean,
you love data.
Like, what does this mean? And so we cold call people all the time. We email people all the time.
Right.
Like, hey, we're still a startup and we want advice. Like, like, tell us more. So we were like, why are people going on more second dates? Like,
yeah.
That's so interesting. So we did these interviews and they said, well, you know, on other dating apps, I would have gone on a first date with this person. But unless the date was perfect, I would have just gone back to swiping that evening, you know? But you said that we were 85% compatible. And so, you know, even though our first date, he was a little weird, he said something awkward
right.
or whatever, he was a little late, or, you know, I decided to give him another chance.
And
I went on another date, and, you know, the second date was pretty good. And now
wow.
we've gone on six dates, and we've actually deleted the app, you know? And so what I
That's
realized...
That's a true story?
True story.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, story after story after story, yeah. We have, at this point, we have probably like 30 successful couples.
Are you serious?
Since September, yeah.
Holy shit. And
yeah.
this, we're not even in February.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. And so what I've realized is like, oh my gosh, we are humanizing dating using data. And what that means is that because we're telling people, here's the data, this person, you're compatible with them, they're giving them more of a human chance. Rather
right.
than this like swiping
random
cultural,
whatever,
you
yep.
know, well, I'll get coffee with you for 10 minutes, and
mm-hmm.
unless I like am absolutely head yep. over heels,
yep.
I'm gonna go swipe again. And instead, they're like, you know what? Like, I wasn't head over heels, but Faramore's data says
yes,
compatible,
yes.
So I'm gonna go another date. Honestly, and this is not he knows this. The guy I'm dating now,
yeah.
Our first two dates, I thought he'd be perfect for my roommate.
No.
Yeah, our first two dates, I wasn't like head over heels.
So I was going to ask you about that. How? So it's not always love at first sight. Sometimes it builds. So you obviously you believe in it building because
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
But like the first date, the second date might be okay. But then it builds up whatever the connection, everything,
yes.
the conversation.
Because
yeah.
what I think we're trying to fight now is there's a struggle between biology and true connection, which, by the way, my boyfriend and I have fantastic chemistry.
Yeah.
But what I was battling in those first two dates that I had to get through to feel the real chemistry
right.
was he's a ginger. I've never dated ginger.
Is that really what your hang-up was? Like,
well, amongst others, so right. ginger. he's a runner. He's a marathon.
Okay.
Runner. I've always liked bigger guys.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
So he's
okay.
more like. Thin and lanky,
right.
you know, and I was like, oh, I don't know, he's gender, he's all
right.
Right. He's also, he's an elementary school music teacher. I was always thinking, I should date a CEO, I should date an MBA, I should date a doctor, you know? So there's these things, but they were manifested within my own self limiting who I was dating because I thought I needed to have this, this, and this. And instead, science said, girl, this is the guy, though.
And now you totally feel.
And now I'm like, I love him.
Oh, he's my God. Best.
Everyone should date that music teacher.
And that's, like, amazing. I want to meet him. I wish he was here. So, you, but that really, like, now it's, like, is it almost funny looking back at the first suit when you're like, I can't believe I even, like.
Really, for real. And I'm like, thank God I listened to the data and went on, you know, one more date with him. One more date because.
Because had there not been the data to back that, you.
I would have been like, no, I have a checklist to check.
And you'll go swipe again or something. Wow. Uh-huh. That's amazing. Yes. That's okay, so if someone wants to download it, they go to the App Store, Faramore.
Yeah.
Website is...
Faramore.com.
And Instagram, what's all... Is it all just Faramore? It's really hard, guys. P-H-E-R-A-M-O-R.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, anything else? This was so interesting.
Just that if you have downloaded Faramore, you have a success story, please tell us.
Yes.
Please share.
Oh, and then maybe we'll do a podcast about it. That could be fun, having a success story, have the two of them. And then we're going to talk about getting the kit for, or doing something. I want my husband that. Yeah, the couples
so
thing.
So if you're in a couple, if you're in a relationship, take a keep an eye out for wehavechemistry.com.
So is it through, but it's not through Faramore. You
it's
can't.
It's powered by Faramore.
Powered by
but,
it.
It's going to be a separate.
Separate.
Website.
Okay. So just keep an eye out, social media, all the things. This was awesome. Thank you so much. All right. And as always, you can follow me at JulieLauren14. Thank you so much again. And I will talk to you very soon. Bye.
Hey America, Christopher Hahn here, the Aggressive Progressive Podcast. What is with the president and the right-wing echo chamber encouraging these AstroTurf protests against stay-at-home orders around the country? It's ridiculous and it needs to stop. Check out the Aggressive Progressive Podcast wherever you download podcasts.
I'm Royal Oaks. Next time on Too Many Lawyers, COVID continues to reshape the law. Supreme Court arguments will be held by teleconference. The justices won't even know if the lawyers are wearing pants, which is fair given the eternal mystery of what's under those black robes. Los Angeles County is springing 25% of its inmates. The sheriff suggests folks get ready for what might be a spike in crime. Check it all out on the next episode of Too Many Lawyers.
A lot can happen between falling in love with a house online and owning it. Between imagining living there and breathing in your new home for the first time. Having an advocate who can help you navigate the complex world of financing, inspections, negotiating, analyzing the market, and talking through any anxieties that may pop up, that can make all the difference. That's what the expertise of a Realtor can do for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and bound by a code of ethics. Because that's who we are.
I'm Chris Hahn, the Aggressive Progressive. Check out a new episode of the Aggressive Progressive Podcast every Tuesday. You know, the election is heating up just as the year is winding down. Stick with me. I'll tell you the truth as I see it. Download the Aggressive Progressive on Pandora or wherever you get your podcasts.